Hello and welcome to LedgerCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I am here with Josh Olsiewicz. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Brian. How's it going, Mr. Altcoin Maximalist?
I was about to say what I'm about to be called. it's going well. I'm learning new things. I'm having fun. I am an altcoin maximalist right now. I hope that the people will forgive me, but I feel like the Bitcoin has given me permission to shitcoin, if you'll excuse my language. We are officially in the land of chop, Josh, and I'm taking advantage because historically in Bitcoin bull markets, when Bitcoin goes into definitive chop, it gives us opportunities to play in the land of altcoins. What do you think?
I think there are selective, as with any bull market, okay, there's decoupling, stuff goes off. Like today, Link was up 17%, 18%. Who the hell knows? We see that a lot in bull markets. I think it's really weird that Link is up 20% and BTC is down 10 on the day. That's a bit bizarre. Is it altcoin season? Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't bet on it. Look at some of the BTC charts if you want to be sure. But dominance is still, what, 68% plus?
I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
We could talk about like all the random garbage that's pumping that people are pumping on Twitter, like Sushi and DeFi coin this and DeFi coin that. And DeFi is amazing, and he tweeted about Curve. Look at him go! Like I'm just done with it all, honestly.
How dare you, sir? Well, I'm just gonna go ahead and say that I am now. What do they call them? ETH heads? A dot?
Oh, God.
I'm an ether.
I call them meth heads.
Okay. Meth heads? I'm a meth head.
That's better, yeah.
I'm an Ethereum. Thanks, Pat. So I even have a .eth name. You can go to ledgerstatus.eth or ledgercast.eth, and that is a wallet. It's my digital Ethereum identity.
You're really deep. You're so deep. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull you out.
It has $58 in it, thanks to donations from friends and listeners. it was $125, but I bought these two ENS domains, Ethereum Name Service domains, which is basically the way to label a wallet. So now when we're like, hey, give us a tip, they can just go straight to ledgercast.eth and holler at us and tell us they love the show. How cool is that? And you know what? I'm going to give folks another tip real quick. That tip is that you should be trading on Matcha. All you got to do is go to ledgerstatus.com/matcha, make your first trade on a DEX if you hadn't done it yet. Those of you in the chat, I know you're liking it because y'all been giving me feedback. Like 90% of my trade volume is on Matcha. It's great. Great UI, great DEX, great liquidity. You can even do limit orders through Wrapped ETH and USDC. It's a great platform. We're happy to have them on board. There's your tip for the day. Try Matcha. Go to ledgerstatus.com/matcha. So I've been digging into a couple things. Mobile wallets. I'm going to interview the rainbow.me guy, which is he makes this mobile wallet that I was showing on the screen. Which is cool because it shows your balances. You can connect. Like, I can be on mobile and do, like, a confirmation back and forth all on my phone, which is pretty slick. It's really seamless. And then, I don't know, I'm looking into some of this NFT stuff, in particular the ENS domains. I think they're pretty neat. It's just like, you know, your .coms and your .ios and stuff like that. But it provides an identity for a wallet. Now, this is a fresh wallet, so it's undoxed. It is doxed, but it's not connected to other wallets. So there's some security issues to consider. Like you don't want to, you know, buy stuff with your name on it if it's connected to a wallet you don't want people to know about, that kind of thing. But I've been digging in, and it's really just derivative, Josh, of the fact that I think that this is a time for alts to shine. We're seeing evidence of it today. You and your disbelief are acknowledging it without knowing it, talking about why are some of these alts up even though Bitcoin's down 9 or 10%. And the reason is because dominance has clearly faded off the top. And altcoins clearly have a lot of room for makeup and catch up. And Bitcoin's clearly not going anywhere right this moment. And it's been alt season since Christmas, just like I said it would be.
Oh, man. I guess like selective alts are doing well. I don't know, man. Like, I do agree with one point you've made over the past couple of weeks, which is that this DeFi stuff's going to start bubbling into the top 20, top 10. I mean, DOT does not belong in top 5. Sorry, DOT heads. it probably doesn't even belong on the market cap list, to be honest.
Why?
It's way too new. I have no idea what the coin lock schedule is. Like, how many of the coins are even out there that are in circulating supply, you know? The minute we have to have that conversation between circulating and locked up and all that stuff, it just doesn't belong on any list because we don't know what's going on.
Don't you think, though, that the DOT of 2020 is ahead of, say, the EOS of 2017?
DOT of 2020 is ahead of, I mean, I think EOS is a complete trash coin. So
yeah, but we've talked about it for a long time. It's got billions of dollars associated with it. I think DOT is already further along than EOS, both in terms of what's built on it, the community, and all that.
Is it? I know nothing about DOT, so I can't really objectively answer that. But
yeah, they like did a whole. I mean, they basically when they came to market and got listed on the exchanges and did whatever their initial token distributions and stuff, they launched with a whole bunch of projects like ready to go, like people that were building on DOT in the background alongside them and stuff. I don't know. Like I'm not anti DOT. I don't really trade it because even though it's done really well, it's like, it's massive, as you noted. You know, VCs control a lot of it. They're in massive profit, whatever. If you were looking at the BTC pair though, it was tradable, but it's not one I'm just going to sit on for like 6 months because I think it's going to kill Ethereum. It's kind of like a range trade idea. But I do feel like I need to pay attention to DOT. I need to pay attention to anything that's going to be serious about competing with Ethereum for DeFi stuff because I think DeFi is got a lot of catch up to do, as you just acknowledged. Like, we're going to see DeFi stuff rotate into the top 20. Baffleman asked if I've used a DOT application. I have not. I need to.
Hey, that makes two of us. Hey.
But. From what I've understood is that like the DOT stuff is pretty legit in terms of developing for it, actual usage. Like they had the advantage of following the leader and being able to, you know, utilize that information to do what they do. So I don't really have anything against it. Like,
well, here's something else that I'll say that I think we've talked about a lot. The ETH killers had years to kill ETH. They didn't. So,
but DOT is like the newest attempt at it, right?
Well, I don't know. Is it an ETH killer or is it like a ETH adjacent? I don't know enough about it. I haven't done an article about it yet, but
it's an alternative to ETH.
What's the roll-up thing about?
Huh?
Do you know enough about that? I don't know. There's some like sidechain, off-chain L2 thing with DOT. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I'll look it up and read about it. But I need to look into it more.
Well,
yeah, is that tradable? Sure. Does it have a lot of issues and baggage? Yeah. Is Gavin Wood ahead of it? Yeah. Is their treasury locked up forever? Yeah. Like, there's just so much baggage. It reminds me of Zcash from that perspective. Just so much baggage.
Yeah, I'm sure that there will be plenty of days of bearishness for DOT in the future. But, you know, people made money on the trade, so they're shilling it. Whatever. I am interested in whether it can gain traction or any of these can gain traction for layer one solutions, alternatives to ETH. So here's my thing. DeFi is real. People are doing innovative things with DeFi. DeFi stuff is going to unseat a lot of these like not Bitcoin money-ish L1s that are in the top 20, as well as ETH killers that failed. I wrote a thread talking about how I think generally longing, you know, these unused layer ones is, you know, laudable but wrong outside of some that are dabbleable that you could dabble in for swing trades. Like, I think Solana, BSC, and Polkadot, which is DOT, are really those. mostly because they're going after DeFi from the forefront, and they're not like a legacy chain pivoting to DeFi or something like that. So they could bring challenge to Ethereum when Ethereum, you know, freaking melts in certain times. It's like suddenly $50 to make a transaction on Ethereum. But there's this these coins well, in the top 20, you know, EOS, ADA, LTC, BCH, XRP, TRX. Get out of there. Get out of there.
That's the thing. Again, we've talked about this before, but like the fees are so high and people are still using ETH. It's kind of like...
That's bullish. That means like it's that much better.
No, I agree 100%. Like it's beyond first mover. It's like for some reason I have like Parasite, not Parasite's even the wrong term, but it's just like it's literally everywhere and so easy to use and it's like oozing into everything.
Yeah,
I can't think of the word, but yeah, I mean, it's super easy to like connect to Zapper or D-Bank or like all these sites and like track all your stuff and like move it all around and start staking or start collecting claimable whatever is on wherever. You know, it's just like it's too easy to do all that. It's so integrated with everything that even if something else were to come in today and try to unseat that, I just feel like they're going to have a super hard time.
It's not easy. I think some have a better chance than others.
I think, you know, I'm not bullish. I'm not necessarily bullish on ETH, but just like it's obvious, you know, when you start using this stuff, it's obvious that it has value.
It's where the
for
attention
speculation.
Is. It's where the billions of dollars are.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's fair. I don't want to sound like I'm massively bullish ETH because I'm bearish everything else, but everything, you know, speculation is the name of the game right now. And that's where to do it is ETH. Like that's where the party's at. You
yeah.
know?
In terms of you know, chasing those layer ones or, you know, the VC stuff, one of the things I run into as a problem is like a lot of these early investors are already so in profit and the projects are so centralized that it's kind of terrifying. Like, someone could just dump on you and ruin you at any moment. You know, like it kind of scares
me. Yeah, we've
me.
Talked about that before. I've talked about it a bunch of times. It goes back to the supply demand thing.
Yeah.
That's why with Link, like if Link's doing all this stuff with all these businesses, great. But at the end of the day, they're still dumping 4 million tokens a month nonstop.
They're willing to sell tokens for something else. That's a little scary.
So we're supposed to sit here and say, okay, Link's at an all-time high. Great. Everything's going to be great. It's going to go to 60 by the end of the year.
It might.
As I'm predicting, you know, awesome. But at the same time, they're still selling 4 million tokens a month. You know.
How long do they have to sell those tokens for, though, before they're, like, out? Like, do they have to sell 4 million tokens a month for, like, 10 years or something before those tokens are, you know, out into the ecosystem?
I think they have 250 million left.
Yeah.
So yeah, but they were increasing it like a stepwise fashion every 3 months. So I don't know. I don't know what the like implicit contract with the community is as far as what they're doing, because one of the wallet that they've been selling from, the Link is almost up. Like there's like 10 million left in it. So I don't know if they're going to sell from another wallet or what they're going to do. I don't know. Like there's so much stuff that happens in the background for Link that the Marines are super connected with that people on the outside just don't have any clue as far as what's going on. With some Sergey interview where he said something about something, you know.
Yeah.
There isn't, I don't see a lot of PR, like outward PR about like, this is what the plans for the project is and this is what we're going to be selling and this is why we're selling. I don't see that personally anywhere, but it doesn't mean it's not there.
I just know XRP is still number 4. Cardano number 7. Wait, is that number? Why are these out of order? Maybe it's because of what I'm sorting by. Anyway, XRP, Cardano, Bitcoin Cash, Stellar, Bitcoin SV, EOS, Tron, even Tezos. Like Tezos is trying to pivot but struggling. A lot of these are going to get unseated.
I mean, the other issue is, you know, the secret issue is that most of that stuff doesn't even belong on the market cap list, you know? Like, sorry, it just doesn't. BSV, BCH.
Yeah, but they're still there. You know? They still have market cap, even if they don't have volume or liquidity.
But, not really, because you have to look at realized cap. If you sort by realized cap, which isn't anywhere that I can find other than Coinmetrics, as far as who's actually using the coins per day or when were the coins last used, you know, some of these coins, like, on the forks have never been moved. So should those even be in the market cap? And again, when we're having this conversation of what's the supply, what's locked up, what's available, like you just lose me completely. It's like, okay, I'm avoiding that one because I don't know what's going on. You know, you can't just look at it and like Bitcoin, you can't just say, oh, it's this, right?
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, so just, we're already seeing some of these DeFi projects rocket up these lists, and they're going to get to the top 20 and the top 10. Synthetics and Aave are moving quickly up the lists. Uniswap moving pretty quickly up the list. And there'll be others. And there are some that are like 50 to 100 that are going to be top 50. And we're just going to generally see that rotation work through. And we'll see, in my mind, not all alt trades will be the same. So like, if you're still trying to say like, oh yeah, I want my old 2017 chain to pump as an altcoin, it's probably not gonna, you know, compared to the new and shiny. And some of this is new and shiny because for a good reason, like there's billions of dollars that are invested in it or being used on it. In the case, like what's going on with lending and, some of the products.
It's all speculation. The reason DeFi works so well is because you can use it to speculate on itself. You know, it's harder to do that with stuff that isn't in the ecosystem. You know?
And there's this concept that's really come to fruition with DeFi stuff, which from a securities realm gets real confusing real quick. But like, you know, because of the way these contracts work and these interactions work, they're generating revenue. And there's this decision of, okay, well, what do we do with revenue? And the governance of the tokens can choose to turn that revenue over to token holders. So then you have cash flow built into the Uni token or Aave token or whatever. And it allows people to start valuing them in a different way. And there is no way of, that's much more clear than, say, how you might value some of these legacy chains as a whole. And I think we'll just start to see that continue to manifest as a popular narrative, and coins with billions of dollars flowing through their platforms are going to outperform the empty cathedrals of old, unused blockchains.
Yeah, so does that mean it's alt season? I don't think so. I just think it means a lot of people are playing around with DeFi. I mean, Mark Cuban's talking about Aave on Twitter. Like, what? Like, that's bizarre, right?
Yeah.
But everybody who's anybody is talking about...
Bizarre and awesome, because I have Aave.
It is awesome. Just, yeah. But
it's awesome, actually, even if you don't have it. Like, just the fact that someone with his profile is not only talking about crypto, not only talking about, like, Ethereum or Bitcoin, they're talking about DeFi and specific platforms and the pros and cons of using it. Like, that's near mainstream. Like, that's pretty incredible. Aave is a great chart for me to give my point of why it's alt season, Josh. One, Bitcoin's in a range. Two, we're seeing some of these coins not only perform against the dollar, but here's Aave on a daily chart relative to Bitcoin itself, breaking above the 200-day moving average and breaking a forever diagonal. And maybe a forever pennant. And this is one of those ones where it took me a long time to say, like, all right, I'm going to holler at this, because I'm like, it's up so much from where it started. But then you realize it's up so much from where it started for a reason, because it's a market leader in one way or the other. So if this continues
it's a new paradigm, man.
it's a market leader. So, you know, capitalists flowing towards the market leaders. The difference between where it broke out or where it may retest up to Bitcoin relative all-time highs is a 89-90% gain from where it is today, despite how much it's up. So if that plays out, I want to be, as a speculator, involved in that. So I have a bag. And that is representative inside a large cap of how I'm approaching more than one coin in this space. And that's just to, you know, the chart is the chart. Somebody smart told me that.
Did he? I think like a top 10 basket of DeFi stuff, like this will be an interesting thought experiment. I might actually do this. Like, take a top 10 basket of DeFi and see if it outperforms BTC over the next year.
A year is a long time. Let's just do...
That's the game I play. I play long time games, you know?
Yeah. I would rather say, like, how can it do over a month first, like, or 3 months? But I'm starting to see some of these transitions from a chart perspective. Like, Uni showing it again. These are trend reversals. These are clear trend reversals. The curve one is hilarious. And not all these are equal. Like, you can see how much curve was lagging. It's because this coin is literally yield for people. Now, the dollar chart started to look okay. Like, Josh, my friend who loves charts, looks at this double bottom on curve and is like, you got to be Moan City on that, right? Relative to Bitcoin, it was still on the struggle bus. But look, it just popped above the 20-day. And it's like, okay, if this is the real deal, a real breakout, then the potential upside, even on this coin that, you know, I don't really like the mechanics, is severe. Like, relative to Bitcoin, these are things I want to be trading. These are things I want to be participating in. And I think when you're looking at, okay, well, I'm going to sit here in Bitcoin, which is in this range, or am I going to go dance against dominance?
Dance with the manse. I think that's fine, but you have to realize, like, portfolio management, risk management, you know, there's the 80-20 strategy, I think, is prudent as far as for me personally. You know, bringing 20% of it into shitcoin land is, I think that's fine. Because the upside, I mean, just look at, let me bring up the Bitwise 10, not to like shill some. Shill something.
But what does the Bitwise 10 include? Like,
it doesn't include DeFi stuff, but here's my point. My point is that on occasion, alts will outperform BTC alone.
Yeah.
They haven't done so recently, specifically probably because most of these are garbage, but the whole setup here is, you know, occasionally when things do really well, it's not just Bitcoin, and things that do really well are stuff other than Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So does that mean it's alt season? I don't think so. I think it's DeFi season, if anything. I'll agree with that. You know, I'll get behind
DeFi
that.
Is alts.
Okay, but most alts are not doing what DeFi is doing.
But you know? DeFi are the alts that matter. That's my point. Like, I want my exposure fully in DeFi. I could give a crap about anything else.
That's fair. But I think calling it alt season is disingenuous because it's not the alts of old, like you keep saying.
It never is. Freaking Feathercoin and Peercoin and who knows what. Like, they're all gone. Like, failed experiments. And here's experiment number 17, you know. And maybe it's just destined to become another failed experiment. Or maybe this one has legs. I look at this Bitcoin chart. I drew this, like, you know, here's the pennant that I think we're about to approach, and here's the mean reversion, here's the 20-day, here's what I think we can range in. And to me, it just started screaming, combined with seasonality stuff that we've talked about. Like, now is the time for me to go speculate in altcoins. And a day like today, where Bitcoin takes a 10% drawdown, you know, my DeFi stuff might also take a drawdown. Except for, guess what? It's not. It's like flat or up for the leaders in DeFi. On a day when Bitcoin's down 10% and they're up 10, 15, 20% against BTC, that's the whole game for me, man. Like, I'm a speculator. I'm not here to just stack sats. I'd be a hodler if I was just stacking sats. I'm trying to trade and gain more Bitcoin, and rarely have I seen a better opportunity than what is in front of us. Because what I think that we have on our hands is a potential multi-week at minimum, maybe multi-month opportunity for speculation while Bitcoin continues to be reaccumulated by these massive institutional buyers.
I think what worries me behind the scenes is a lot of this DeFi stuff is being P&D'd, pump and dumped.
By who?
Exactly.
That's your question?
Big tinfoil hat stuff here, but... that's what worries me. See, I'm not having new people call me and say, how can I buy SNX? You know, they're calling me asking, how can I buy Bitcoin and ETH? Or how can I buy stuff in the Bitwise top 10 or whatever, you know? The new people that are calling me, like the people with money, aren't people are looking to get into DeFi right now, you know?
They will. It just means we're
early. I mean, maybe. Maybe.
I think that the programmatic blockchain stuff that Ethereum helped popularize, it caught on, obviously, in 2016 and 2017 when Ethereum took off. And we had an ICO cycle around the tokenization of every single blockchain idea that obviously had lots of flaws. And now there's this decentralized finance stuff connected to everything, where I think it's still got lots of flaws, but it's a lot better than the ICO mania. And the ICO mania went really hard for quite a while. And I think we're going to have a DeFi ride that makes the last August and September, which was full of scams and a handful that popped out from that, DeFi summer, if you will. We're going to start seeing the real stuff emerge here, and the it's going to be interesting to me. Like, it's going to be good. It's going to be real good.
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm ready to trade it. Sure. I just can't see it as easily as I can with BTC. Like, yeah, BTC is consolidating and may or may not be head and shouldering and whatever. But if BTC has a 30% down week, you know, I don't expect Link to do as well as it has, for example, you know.
BTC had a 28% down move already.
Right. Let's say it has another one, you know.
I find that unlikely.
I think it's unlikely. I don't think it's impossible.
I think the current topishness is going to require strong legacy reasons for why it should occur.
We had ES dumping today. So we had legacy dumping today. We had Dixie rising today. Crypto followed all of that. And then on top of that, we had the CoinLab, or not CoinLab, Mt. Gox news about coins being ready to be unlocked, or the CoinLab court case not being as big of an obstacle as it once was, or whatever, you know, whatever.
And we could also be selling the news on Big Joe coming in office. I'm not opposed to the fact that we could have a stronger dip. That would certainly hurt the moves in DeFi relative to the dollar, and maybe relative to Bitcoin as well. But I'm still willing to play that game. And if we get that dip, I want to be ready to participate in buying it.
So I guess if I'm hearing you right, your portfolio allocation is the opposite of what I do. Like, let's say, I don't even know if you're 20% BTC right now. You might just be 100% alts.
No comment.
But, but I don't know. I stick with the sure thing. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, this is the theme of the show, is I've always been willing to speculate more than you. I've made the decision. This is something I was planning for, alts in January, starting in probably November, even sooner. When I moved everything from DeFi summer over to Bitcoin, Bitcoin broke like 10K, I stayed in Bitcoin, thank goodness. Almost entirely until the end of the year, outside of like some small mechanisms, some ways I was able to play altcoins using Bitcoin as collateral still. My plan was, when the tax season rolled over in January, I shift my attention to playing alt swings, trying to increase my Bitcoin, thinking essentially that a lot of that stuff was going to follow the massive run we'd seen in Bitcoin. Stand by it. From my portfolio, and maybe it's not across the board, but from a select, you know, like leaders in the market, it's clear to me they've performed extraordinarily well, and there's still quite a good bit of room in my mind for them to continue that move over the course of January. Now, we're halfway through January. I will have to reevaluate, especially as, like, you know, the CME lists Ethereum, that kind of stuff. But Ethereum's consolidating right at the all-time highs. Like, when you turn some drawings on, you know, you can start to put some kind of pennant consolidation type stuff together on that. It's a little aggressive, but it's not like it went to the prior all-time high and just completely died. It had a 30% drawdown, just like Bitcoin did, and now it's outperforming Bitcoin. ETH BTC looks pretty good. And the attention is clearly on this landscape, and I I'm here for it. I'm here for it. That's all there is to it.
Wait, wait, you think ETH/BTC looks good?
It's not dying on a day. On a day, Bitcoin's down 10%. Yeah,
because
the ETH pair is up 1.3% while Bitcoin is down 8.8%. ETH is down 7%. If you look at it on a daily basis, it has been flagging for a week in the face of Bitcoin weakness.
Yeah, okay.
I think you're just coping. You're coping, Josh.
I'm not coping. I'm ready. I'm here. You know, I'm ready to make money. I don't care. I made money on Band. I rolled it into BTC during the dip. I sold ETH at the top. I bought it at the bottom. Like, I'm rolling with the punches.
Yeah.
I'm for it. I'm all for it. You know, I'm doing whatever I want. Inch. You have me in Badger, like all this other nonsense that we're doing on the side. I'm for it. I'm a realist, you know.
Yeah.
ETH BTC to me looks like it's at resistance. Unless it breaks 0.35, I don't really care what happens.
It looks choppy, but it looks stronger than it does weak to me. It's over the 200 day. I don't know. I'm not trying to be too clever. It's over the 20 week.
Yeah, I'll give you that. You know, something else about these alts that are dying, or the alts that aren't moving, their BTC pairs are just absolutely brutal. Like EOS BTC, all-time lows. Did Zcash BTC hit new lows too?
And these are the coins that's why I'm trying to be very specific about
Tezos.
The top tier, you know, the poop rolls downhill, Josh. You know, you got to start with the top tier, top narrative stuff, right? So DeFi, top tier DeFi coins. You're talking about freaking EOS and Zcash. I could give a crap. Like, that's when everybody has too much money for their own good and they're looking for what's lagged for a long time, and then you go. Why are we talking about EOS? That's what Baffleman said. I agree. I am baffled by that, Baffleman.
I think I like to talk about it because of how terrible it looks and how terrible it's doing.
But that's, you're getting distracted as if that's altcoins. That's not what matters. Like I said in that tweet thread, and as my man Baffleman, I can't believe it's not just me. Like, just forget about that stuff. EOS and Tezos, it's all that's in no man's land. You got to look to market leaders in the leading narrative. That's the way to play altcoins. And those are your Aves and your Sushis and your Unis and your stuff you never heard about last time around. Your 2017 bags, they may come back, but they're coming back at the very end. They're not coming back at the beginning. So, sorry.
All right. I mean, that's fine.
It's Ethereum time and it's Ethereum derivative time.
It's just like watching a car crash. You know, I just can't look away from these alt BTC pairs.
Well, have fun staying poor. Just
kidding. I'm not trading. I'm not trading or buying.
I just needed to say have fun staying poor. I listened to some legacy market podcasts where they were like, these crypto people, they keep telling me to have fun staying poor. It's like, that's a terrible phrase to put out there, but I can't help but laugh at it sometimes.
I feel like we've talked about DeFi enough, but I did a scan of DeFi stuff this week, as I do every week. So check that out on the BNC YouTube. We'll link that up in the show notes. And there were, within DeFi, like, there's intra sector strength and weakness, definitely.
Absolutely.
I think UMA, MT, was MTA the bad one, or UMA? I think UMA. You know, there's some UMA of these that are so obviously just trending and that are just buy and holds. And then there are others that are just flat. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this other than it's pretty obvious. Like you're saying, you know, the leaders are the leaders for a reason.
Right. Your EOS chart's so bad that my face is covering it up on the video.
That's fine.
In the lower corner.
Do we want to talk about...
Before you dig into that, I want to talk about the Dixie, because we talked about it before.
Yeah.
The headwind to all of this... We talked about the potential for Dixie reversal. We at least have the start of it. You know, we have a what's going to be a weekly close that's very positive after a reversal candle last week, right into the congestion zone from December 2017, January 2018. That's where you would have expected a bounce, and you got a bounce. Does that mean, like, suddenly the Dixie is just going to go crazy? No. But it's definitely showing evidence of significant life and could move as high as like maybe 92, 92.5 before it has real resistance. that'll continue in my mind to be a headwind against upside. You know, BTC could, it could show some relative strength, but not like, I don't think we're going to make new highs while the Dixie is going up. Whether we make lower lows, I don't know.
It's the first thing we'd agreed upon all day, Brian.
All right. Congratulations, guys. Let's call it a wrap. So this is a sign to me that Bitcoin is continuation of no new highs.
I was going to say about the Dixie, the negative correlation has actually come off over the past 30 days significantly. It's down to negative 16 versus, like, I don't know, negative 90. We're actually super correlated with SPX right now, 90% correlated. So I don't know what to think anymore. Even the VIX is up today, 24.
Yeah, I mean, I think Legacy is preparing to do a bunch of weird stuff as the administration rolls over.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I think all that's going to have ripple effects for crypto. You know, even the stuff as simple as today, you know, Dixie was up however much it was up. And
0.6%, and it created headwinds across the market.
BTC was not happy.
BTC was not happy. SPY was down 0.73%. Gold, man, can we pour one out for gold? Like, holy cow.
Schiff on suicide watch?
Yeah. I mean, it's bad, dude. Gold is not participating in any of the fun that Bitcoin's had.
Well, I think you're seeing rotation out of gold into crypto, and I think that's really stalling the rally for gold, where it otherwise would be.
It should be very bullish. I thought it was going to break and create a flag, and it had the most epic failure of it. Over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, it basically said, sit down, you know, like, we're not going anywhere fast. Real nasty move there on gold.
On the cloud weekly, it's setting up for a bearish edge to 1600. Edge to 16, yeah.
Man, I still have exposure in my long-term retirement accounts to gold miners, and I'm like, I've been holding the line while they're, I don't know, down a little bit, still way up from where I like initially got exposed to them, but I'm pretty tempted to sell them. Is that a bottom thing?
I don't know. It doesn't look good for gold, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like the miners are still super profitable, but I don't know that that matters, you know? Like, yeah. Is the market smart enough to let miners win even though gold is flat or down?
I don't know. I'm not a gold person.
Yeah, but nevertheless, it's worth mentioning what we've seen in Bitcoin is vastly different from what the gold market has done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, where'd it go? My correlations. We went from positive 90% correlation to negative 20% over the past 30 days. With gold. Like, that's how little gold has done anything.
Yeah. Also on the correlation front, I wrote a blog post this week about the Dixie, DXY, and Bitcoin, and showed the positive correlations over the long term alongside kind of my case for whatever pump we get on the dollar, I think, is short-lived. But those correlations on a weekly basis are huge, even though they're rolling off a little bit, like you said. So even though that may not be true right this moment, or maybe tapering a bit, it's still very much worth considering the dollar and Bitcoin. I'm going to do some more blog posts, so I hope everybody keeps an eye out for those. So we've got a lot of FUD in the market. You got a tweet from Whale Panda up. I want to hear what's some of the fundamental reasons that the Bloombergs and headline people of the world will give for this 10% down day in Bitcoin.
Well, I love how all the news comes like this week as it's consolidating and as we're going down like 10% or whatever.
Yeah, this is something that you said back when we started this podcast in 2017, but it was always like the chart can tell the story, but there'll always be some fundamental event that people will use to justify it.
It's almost like, I mean, I love Decrypt, but these articles are just, you know, it's like they're just like bazooking these headlines out of their Russian contract killers take crypto.
Okay, it's awesome. Lawmakers
are bringing back the crypto crime bill.
Got to get those clicks, baby.
We talked about the Mt. Gox creditor thing.
Tell me, I want to learn more about the Mt. Gox creditor thing. What is this 90% of Bitcoin left in bankruptcy comment about?
So my takeaway was the people who are owed their Bitcoin from Gox can get paid up to 90% of what they lost. The other 10%, I believe, is being fought over through CoinLab, but maybe that's incorrect. I don't know. It's so to me, to bring it all the way back to the beginning of this podcast, like conversation, I'm so over Mt. Gox everything. I'm so over, you know, Trump anything, basically any of this nonsense. Like Tether, if Tether were to go away tomorrow, I would be so happy because then I would just never have to hear about it again.
It'd be like a 15% down spike in Bitcoin and then never worry about it again.
Right. You know, maybe Bitcoin goes to zero after that. That's fine. You know, I'm just so sick of the Tether nonsense, just nonstop. Obviously, this headline is troublesome if a bank is using Tether's deposits to invest in other stuff. But I don't know. I'm so over it.
But isn't
that
what banks do? They take deposits and they invest it?
I thought so. But it's up to the bank's discretion, right?
Yeah.
And aren't like, I don't know. Like this is framed as a negative.
Yeah, get out of here. Who cares?
But I don't think it should be anyway. So yeah, I don't know. It's just like it's nonstop
barrage. If you're not in crypto yet, don't let this be your justification. If you get your 25% to 35% down draft to say like, oh, I'm too scared because of freaking Tether, I'm not buying. This is your opportunity to buy. In 2017, we went down 40%. And it was like, we don't even know the future of Bitcoin itself because of dummy Roger Ver and forking and what is Bitcoin Cash going to be and which way are people going to go? How are miners going to vote? Like, that's about as strong as the FUD gets. So this is all baby stuff.
I agree.
Obnoxious, hypocritical pieces of news was Christine Lagarde saying, we got to check in on this Bitcoin stuff because it's being used for bad stuff. Did you see that one?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's rich coming from her.
No, like didn't she get
the legacy people?
Wasn't she convicted of something at one point? Inside the banking industry, she didn't get a penalty for it.
Yeah. They make it sound like all crypto is used for is, bad stuff when banking is used for way more worse things.
Yeah,
the
FUD will come is the point, and it's got to be massive for me to care.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm watching anything particular this week other than I got made fun of for this. I don't care. I still think it's potentially there. I'm watching the 4-hour and the hourly cloud like on almost everything right now.
Yeah.
So if we can get back above the 4-hour cloud and like stay there, that's great. If ETH can reset everything on the 4-hour, that would be good. It is good that the DeFi stuff is still going up because it says that the market as a whole is still pretty bullish.
I feel like everybody is looking at Bitcoin and saying, I'm willing to buy this dip. I'm willing to believe it's not going down 80%. Party's not over, therefore let me speculate where the speculation can occur easily. So that's part of my whole narrative. You said part of what you were getting made fun of, or you've been looking at this like not head and shoulders.
I was looking at this like this could be a possibility, not this is what's going to happen, and people never understand that.
Have you seen our buddy Johnny Moe, what he says these are called on Bitcoin? So Johnny has a name for these because they happen a lot where it's an imperfect head and shoulders where the second shoulder is really a higher low, which is it kind of negates part of what a classical head and shoulders would be, which is where your two, shoulder points are equal height. When it's a higher low, these quickly turn into what he calls a head and shoulders and excuse me, but GFY, because they just tend to rotate back up and turn into like some kind of ascending triangle or something and break up. So the question is that what this is as well? Bitcoin loves to do that.
Yeah, and I think it is chop season for BTC for sure, but that doesn't mean it's not going to melt faces in Q2. I think we have to get past January 29th. That's when the big expiry comes for derivative options, whoever else options, CME, futures. I think things will start to look a little more clear after that date.
Yeah. And February 8th is where ETH launches as well.
February 8th, yeah.
So I have a couple of, I've got these evolve, obviously. It's very early. But as soon as we made that second top on January 9th at 41, like a lower high, and then we put in a second wick on the lows, I just drew out what would the pennant look like, right? And if you draw that all the way out, it converges at the very end of January, January 30th. However, I actually think that's just kind of the inner pennant, you know, like we'll probably chop even further than that and make an even longer consolidation. So it's kind of my aggressive pennant is the one if you just hit the touch points that you have now. And then my assumption is actually once we break that one, we'll do more. Which essentially leaves us to where we don't have to make a new high or, you know, lower lows or whatever in Bitcoin until like halfway through February. We could go that long without making
a new all-time high.
A new all-time high or even like significant lower lows, you know, like, and that just gives the moving averages time to catch up. And when I put that on a daily chart, it looks totally reasonable, right? Like you can imagine just that consolidation that would exist for a month. And that gives the market opportunity to do so many different things, like figure out like what are we going to do in a new administration? How are we going to look at the markets this year now that we're a couple of weeks in, legacy markets, not just crypto. Plenty of opportunity to make some decisions there. And then if we do draw down further, we start looking for those better targets, right? 23K and all the ones we talked about before. In the meantime, we didn't even get to the level that I was like, I called my Chad dip buy, which was spiking below 30 and go to like 29. We stopped at just over 30K. So there's a strong defense of 30K. And today we're bouncing above the 34.5 or so congestion zone. So we didn't even give a real significant retest to that level. One other thing to note on what might have helped the top occur and then what helped secure the bottom is GBTC, Grayscale's products that we've talked about a lot on this show, they paused deposits, which is a normal occurrence for them, but they paused deposits essentially as we were topping, like a little before we were topping, kept them closed for a little while, and the bottom was basically right when they said they were reopening them. And I think institutions that want to buy crypto, I can't imagine why I would do it any other way than GBTC, because what I do when I do that is I get a private placement from Grayscale at net asset value, the actual price of Bitcoin. They manage all the custody for me. The fees are relatively low. And then 6 months later, I essentially have a free covered call by whatever premium exists on GBTC, which might be 10, 15, 20%, that if you decide to sell, you get an extra premium on top of that, almost certainly, as long as we're still in a bull market, and then you can roll the whole thing again. And I think pausing GBTC essentially reduced the bid on Bitcoin by those large buyers. And now, I think the day they opened back up, like a news article came out and said GBTC essentially absorbed 2.5 times the daily mining rate of Bitcoin. So it created immediately massive demand on Bitcoin. And I think that that'll continue to be the case as long as that premium exists, as long as we don't have like full native pricing ETFs without premium, yada, yada. People are just going to use GBTC. They're going to buy the crap out of it. They're going to love their exposure to Bitcoin. They're going to take those premiums every 6 months.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's necessarily a good thing, but it's a thing.
But it helps us identify what could be a top again in the future because people are going to be looking for it. You know, it's going to be like, oh, GBTC paused. Like the gap between when they pause and when it stops is going to be real fast. And then as soon as they open, I'm going to buy. Like I'm going to peanut brain it and see if it works.
It's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I got for this week.
That's just all you got. Do you think we make a break down significantly, or do you think we just kind of chill?
Nah, I think we do a bunch of nothing. Honestly, I think everything does a bunch of nothing.
Well, that excites me.
I know. I'm just the
You're over me right now.
Buzzkill, Sally, Sally Killjoy. Here's the thing for me. I don't see a lot of setups for me right now, and I'm a setup guy. So,
gosh, I just see setups everywhere. Give me your money. Give me your money. Let me trade it.
Okay. I don't know. Like, there's a bunch of buy and holds on DeFi stuff that looks fine. I just don't see any setups for me to trade.
Yeah. Well, I'm mostly in sit on my hands mode because I like the positioning that I have. But I mean, I cannot ignore some of these DeFi things we see. I'm going to talk about a couple of them real quick just because I think they're that good. So I talked about that pennant on Aave. That's also a clearance of the 20-week, not just the 200-day, relative to Bitcoin. This is one where I was buying it under $100. It's at $155 now. It was 160-something earlier today before Bitcoin dumped. Massive USD relative gains. It looks just like an old Shopify chart that I had where I was buying Shopify at 120. It was breaking all-time highs, broke vertically out of this kind of all-time wedge thing, and then it just went absolutely ham from there, 10x. I think Aave, as an example of a market leader in DeFi, despite being up a lot, yada yada, has this $500 plus type potential. Blast through every single fib you can draw on it, make measured moves relative to Bitcoin and just go absolutely freaking ham. One other chart on Aave is the Forever chart, because it used to be called Lend, and it actually hit the all-time high level once before. And then if you look at that, it just it's absolutely insane the move that it could have off of, a breach of a high like that. If you're looking at that in the stock market, you'd be all in. So I'm heavily invested. people will kill me if I don't talk about Rook.
Will they kill you, or will I kill you? let me talk about BNB first, because someone was asking about BNB. I actually like the BTC chart. I'm a big fan of the multi-month bull divs, and that's what BNB is showing me right now. Even though, it's a knife catch, it's an exchange coin. Yeah. It's not DeFi. I don't hate it. I'm not going to jump into it with open arms. I don't hate it.
It's CDFI, right?
what does that mean?
Centralized, decentralized finance. That's right. CZ right. talked about.
Sure.
I think Binance may benefit from the narrative of use BSC, get lower fees, but all your Ethereum stuff still works on it. So they may have some pull from that. I mean, Binance is kicking off people left and right. All the Americans that had fake Binance accounts are getting booted. So that's interesting from a pure exchange perspective. I wonder how impactful that is, but they put the crackdown on that.
I mean, Uniswap's volumes are getting bigger. All the DEX volumes are getting bigger, right?
Yeah.
So, they're eating centralized, I was going to say sexes, but that's a bit awkward. DEXs are eating sexes lunch. There you go.
Yeah, and one of the big benefits of that is you don't have to have permission to trade on those. You can use Matcha at ledgerstatus.com/matcha and buy. Somebody was asking me this too. They were like, it's not even on Coinbase yet, or it's not on Binance yet. I'm like, dude, that's when people are selling to you. the moves are happening on Uniswap and SushiSwap and stuff before they get there. And, Matcha pulls from, I don't know where they list because I just use Matcha, but it pulls from wherever the liquidity exists. That's when I want these tokens. And so that's how I'm playing it. But yeah, they're totally eating the lunch of the centralized exchanges in my mind. And that could put pressure on Binance, but I think they're playing the how a centralized exchange does DeFi role. I think they're doing that pretty well. So I've talked a lot on Twitter about Rook, which is KeeperDAO. This is just an example. I'm not like trying to show my bag. Don't buy it. How about that? Don't buy it. I'm up on it because I've been accumulating it for a while. But this is one where, from an investment perspective, the role that it could have in DeFi, which is essentially helping coordinate arbitrage and stuff for Ethereum, people doing DeFi plumbing, right? So, like, if there's a liquidation on Aave's lending platform, there's an arbitrage, or someone goes and executes that liquidation and they receive a fee for it, but there's gas wars trying to participate in that. So they do a lot of the plumbing stuff, and it's backed by Polychain and Three Arrows Capital, yada, yada. This has no centralized exchange listings. So, like, if you wait until it gets on Coinbase or Binance or something, it could be, like, three times the price it is right now. And that's when I'm going to be looking, hey, maybe I'm going to take some profit now. Whereas I've been accumulating, if you will, while it's been a little more quiet, and before their products like get fully underway, and before they do all their announcements and partnerships and stuff. So it pays attention to it pays to do your research now, because now I have a cost average that's half the current price, even though, like, if I look relative to Ethereum, it hasn't even broken out yet, you know. So there's the pitch on a short pitch on Rook, but use it as an example for lots of other stuff, and stuff that's not already pulled, like what we've seen some of these do already. Like, Sushi has had an incredible move versus the dollar, but it's just now breaking out versus Bitcoin. Like, I look at this versus Bitcoin, it looks amazing. And, you know, it doesn't mean they're all exactly the same, but I think there's tons of opportunities on these. And if you can find the right ones, you know, you make your bets and see how it goes. I want to be doing that with stuff that is on a relative basis undervalued, but is a market leader in the space. Yeah. That's how I'm looking at it.
That's fair. I think my other issue with DeFi that I keep talking about is the supply. Like, I don't know enough about the supplies of all this stuff. Like, I don't want to be buying somebody's VC coins, right? Like, that's my issue with it.
Yeah.
One last thing I'll say about ETH is, my issue with bullish continuation here with ETH for new multi whatever highs would be this pitchfork. It would bust up through the pitchfork and it would break all the rules there. So,
as what strong if it as grinds it, up that top channel? That
would, yeah, be. I mean, it can. It's just, if I look back from this like 2 months from now and say, man, we were at the top of that thing and I didn't just sell it all there, I'm gonna hit myself, because it's so obvious. It's screaming to sell here. It's screaming it. Like, if we M double top, I'm 100% out of all my ETH. It's gone.
Well, I think one of the ways
you can have it, Brian. Yeah. You can have it.
I think one of the ways you could look at it is you could take profit and then buy if it breaks out and goes to all time highs, and you buy like 1400 and assume it's gonna double from there or something, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope here's the other thing. The easy trade is M double top. It goes back to 500-600, whatever. Everything dumps, you know, then you pick up the pieces there. You know, that's the easy trade for me. I don't know if that's the actual trade, what's going to happen. But anyway, that's all I got this week.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about ETH itself. I do actually think it's going to go into price discovery. It would be aggressive. Like, it could consolidate the same as Bitcoin. Especially because a lot of times the money that's going into some of these DeFi coins is funneling from Ethereum, you know? So it can essentially leave Ethereum kind of sideways while people are speculating on underlying stuff in DeFi. So
yeah, at this point, people just use ETH for fees, right? Like,
I mean,
that's really what it's come down to.
I've spent absurd amounts of money on Ethereum.
Yeah, same. Fees.
So, yeah, it's part of it. Like, if you're getting into DeFi stuff, there's a lot of things that you're going to look at and say, holy crap, how is this even possible? Like, why are people paying $50 to make a trade? Right. That kind of thing. It's not the easiest thing in the world. That's what's going to push people to some of these other platforms that have cheaper fees, you know, try to go after the BSCs and stuff. I still think Ethereum and you know, Uniswap and those pools are going to be, like, where the biggest action is, but it's going to cost you, but it depends on what your outlook is and how you approach it. So there's so much nuance in this stuff. It's like learning all over again. I had to learn all over again.
Yeah. I feel you there. It's a lot of learning, a lot of saying, like, why is this a thing? Who's doing this? Why is it so expensive?
What does it mean? But that's, you know, I kind of came to my senses when you and I, for however long, we were like, why is Link going up in this bear market? And why is, you know, synthetics continue to go up? And it's like those, well, they're the backbone of DeFi. And DeFi as a narrative is massive. So I don't want to make that mistake again of not knowing where the game is going in terms of altcoin narratives and what they'll be used for and yada yada. And there's a lot of cool stuff that I think is possible for DeFi to do. Not guaranteed, but possible. In the meantime, I'm just toying with it. You know, like I talked about downloading that rainbow.me wallet, and I bought some like Ethereum name service, like domains, like in a domain name for your wallet. So if someone wants to give us a tip because they had liked the show, they can go to ledgercast.eth inside like Etherscan or something or MetaMask, and they can send us a tip just by knowing our the name.eth. There's a lot of cool stuff going on that I just didn't know very much. I didn't know enough about it, and the ecosystem's exploding. So I'm paying attention. I'm playing in alts land while Bitcoin dinks around. But we should warn people. You already are. I will be ready to go like fully back into Bitcoin. Fully back into Bitcoin when the time is right. You know, the consolidation is over. The moves have been made. Bitcoin is the king, you know, and we're here for another big leg up, we think, on Bitcoin still to come. So don't lose sight of the big picture, but there's some big gains that can be made in the meantime, I believe.
I agree. We talked about it enough. I'm a BTC maximalist. Okay, you got me.
Yeah, got you. All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks everybody for joining us. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Give us a rating and a review if you did. We'll talk to you soon. Go to ledgersize.com. Check out Josh's videos and stuff in the show notes. Thanks for being here.